Thank you for that, Karina. I appreciate you being here. Take this out of the way. Thank you for being on the live stream and being patient with us during this time. This is not the way we actually wanted to open up the building. By the way, I like this. I can see three pictures of myself. That's really neat. I look good this morning. Thank you for not laughing. I appreciate our guys, by the way. We decided to do this at the last second. They had to come in on some of the other days and make sure that everything was ready for the live stream. This is not the way, really, that we had wanted to have our first, it's not really a service, but our live stream. And everything's, it's going to be a little bit different. We had planned on, you know, and we have opened the building. Our first Sunday, we'll have a huge dedication Sunday, and we're going to invite everybody. We're going to blitz our city with invitations and, you know, get the list out, which we probably won't do it like that once we are meeting in here. We'll wait till everything completely opens up, and then we'll have a little campaign, and we'll have a big, big day. But we will be getting in here soon, and I'm very excited about that, and I'm looking forward to it. This year has not, I was just looking at our theme up there. The reason we have our old theme up there is because we can't put the new theme up yet. I've not announced it to you. And the old theme kind of got derailed this year because of all that's going on, but that's okay. We're looking forward to next year. I can be, believe it or not, I can be a little bit, pessimistic's a strong term, negative. And I look at everything that's happened in our society over this last year and some things that are probably going to happen next year, and I could think, man, the future, we've got some work to do. But we need to have the right focus. We come into here, we come in as a church, we have a great future. And regardless of what's going on outside the doors here, people need the Lord. And there's going to be tremendous opportunity. And so I hope that you will join us for that. We're going to look at a very familiar story to you with Saul. And of course, this is the story that led to why God eventually took the kingdom from him. He suffered loss. There's two men you've probably never heard of. One guy's name is Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. You've probably never heard of them. In the 30s, these guys were artists and they wanted to get into comics, and they invented an action hero. And after several years of trying to sell him, they eventually found a company that would buy it, and they sold the rights to this action hero for $130. If you search their history out, you see that the action hero that they sold is now a multi-billion dollar brand. It was Superman. There's a story that in the 60s they did a Broadway show based on Superman. And one of the guys that found it said he stood outside the door on that day and he couldn't even afford to get a ticket to go in. His creation. But because of a bad decision, they lost out. We're going to see something like that this morning in the life of Saul. God had given Saul a very specific task, what we read in our scripture. He told him that God wanted him to go and take care of the Amalekites. By the way, when God gives directions or commands, they're not suggestions. And so God was very clear about what he wanted him to do. The Amalekites were the enemies of Israel. They had attacked them when they came out of Egypt. You know, when nations like that were attacking the Israelites, they weren't attacking the Israelites, they were attacking God. And God, at this time, said, I want you to deal with them. So Saul goes and he wins a very great battle. He does the things that God told him to do, most of the things, but he does not completely do everything God tells him to do. He spares the king. God didn't tell him to do that. He takes the best of their flocks. God didn't tell him to do that. So God goes to Samuel and says, you know what? I regret that I made Saul the king. And he hasn't listened. He didn't obey me like I told him to. And so I'm going to take the kingdom from him. So Saul has this foreknowledge. Samuel has this foreknowledge. And Samuel goes to talk to King Saul. And And Saul gets busted. You know, it's funny how he shows up there and he says, how's it going? Saul's like, hey, everything's great. I did what God said. And then in the background you hear, bah, or whatever it is. I don't know what the animals. Thank you. That was worse. And Samuel's like, what's that? And then he starts getting to his excuse making. But here's what, look at verse 22 of 1 Samuel 15. I want to look at some verses and show you how that Samuel messed up. Saul messed up and it cost him big time. Look at verse 22. And Samuel said, speaking to Saul, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You see, Saul does what everybody else does. They spiritualize it. You know, we save these. I know God said to kill them, but we spared them so that we could sacrifice them to the Lord. We'll give them to God. And Samuel says, you know what? God doesn't need your sacrifice. God doesn't need you to give to him. He needs you to obey him first and foremost. And then in verse 23, God just gives his straightforward view of this situation. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now think about that. He didn't just disobey God. He rebelled against God. He didn't just, you know, well, I'm going to give. And by the way, I'm pretty sure when he said he was going to give it as a sacrifice, he was just blowing smoke, right? But even if he wasn't, it's like, it's rebellion. It wasn't you modifying or changing God's plan. You rebelled against me. You heard specifically what I told you to do, and you decided not to do it. And then he goes forward. It's as a sin of witchcraft. Think of it, the satanic worship. Involvement with demons. Now, why is that? What was the carrot that Satan threw out to Eve? You take the fruit of the tree and you'll be the God of your life. You'll be the one that decides what is right and wrong for your life. That's always been Satan's doctrine. We think of witchcraft as a pentagram and taking, you know, taking a kitten or whatever, and that kind of nonsense. Horns and all that crazy stuff. That's not witchcraft. That actually gives Satan a bad name. Satan's doctrine is you be the deciding factor in your life. You do what you want to do over what God tells you to do. And that's what he laid out for Saul. And stubbornness, verse 23 again, is as iniquity and idolatry. Now listen, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. Saul didn't think he rejected God's word. Saul thought that he did God's word, he just modified it a little bit and spiritualized some of the things he was doing. But he says, you rejected God's word. He hath also rejected thee from being king. What is the point here with Saul? Saul lost it. Saul could have been king, and it could have perpetuated down through the ages. But he didn't even get to put his son on the throne. Why? He didn't do what God said. He lost it. Those are pretty heavy words. By the way, our society has tried to put a positive spin on rebellion. Yeah. You know, we're Americans. Yeah. And, you know, we just do things our own way. Well, that's rebellion. You know, it amazes me. Everybody wants to be a rebel, and they want to be different, so they do the same thing everybody else does. Yeah. I remember when I was in junior high, the first kids in our junior high that dyed their hair pink. And we all thought that was nuts. And then next thing you know, everybody's doing it because we all want to be different just like them. We all want to do our own thing. There's just nothing more than rebellion. Society tells you to question authority. Be your own person. Do your own thing. Live your own life. Well, God's views on the things are different. And God doesn't see it as being good. But that's not the message. The message is the cause of the problem, which led to the results of him losing the kingdom. The result of his disobedience and the consequence that he paid is that he lost the kingdom. Verse 28 of 1 Samuel 15. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. By the way, that's a shame. His son Jonathan probably would have been a really good king. He was a good guy. But he blew it for Jonathan. He blew it for all of them. That's the problem. So what did he do that caused him to lose out on what God had for him? I think I have seven thoughts here I want to give you quickly. And by the way, these are the same things that will cause us to lose out on what God has for us. God has great things for you. That doesn't mean that you'll be bulletproof, you'll never have problems in your life. We're not saying that this morning. But the problem is, a lot of the stuff that God wants to do in our life, God wants to do in our families, is ruined because we choose to do our own thing. And you know, as Christians, we spiritualize it. I can understand, I say this often, I understand unsaved people acting like unsaved people. I can't. I don't like it. But I understand that they're not saved. They don't understand what's important. They don't have the same values that we have. But I don't understand God's people doing that. And to be really honest with you, the messes we are in our society, a lot of it has to do with the fact that Christians have just gone along with what the world is doing. We're no different than the world. We're discipled more by CNN or some basketball player or some whatever we're hearing on television or here on the radio or listening to. And we try to, but that's not even bad enough. The problem is we try to spiritualize it. So what were some of the problems that caused Saul to lose it? First of all, and obey, or think these things can also help us. Obey what you know God has said. Look at verse 8. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. You know, I like that. How would they put it? He kept the king alive, which God said he's supposed to kill, right? But he utterly destroyed everything else. Okay, but what about King Agag? He was supposed to kill King Agag too. He knew that. But he decided he did not want to obey. Spiritual loss is always a result of the fact that we will not obey God. That's it. If we are to have what God wants us to have, we've got to do what God tells us to do. Amen. It's very simple. Just obey what the Lord says. And by the way, ignorance is no excuse. Not you're an ignorant person or something like that. But being ignorant of what God says is no excuse. I mentioned before, I got a ticket one time, something about my truck and mud flaps. I have no clue. I'm like, you know, people are being shot and raped and you're going to give me a ticket because I didn't have mud flaps on my truck? I didn't know the law. But he didn't say, oh, okay, you didn't know the law. I'll let you go this time. No. Okay? I'm supposed to know the law. We're supposed to know what God tells us to do. Right. And once we know, we're supposed to obey what God tells us to do. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27 says, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always. Now, God in this verse doesn't just say that. He tells why. That it might be well with them and with their children forever. Yeah. Saul ought to have thought about that. Because I think that eventually led to him and his sons being killed in that battle. Because he simply did not obey God. God wants us to obey him because that is the only way we get blessing. You're not going to get it if you don't obey him. See, we're looking for magic. People come in my office sometimes and we'll talk about a problem they have or whatever. And it's almost like they want me to open the drawer and I have some type of magic dust I'll throw on them and everything will be better. No. It always boils down to obedience. Let's find out what God said. Let's find out where you're not listening to God. And let's make sure that we do what he says. Remember, God's blessing doesn't come by knowing what he said. God's blessing comes by doing what he said. Biblically speaking, most of us are educated far above our obedience level. And I understand that. I get it. But far too many of us are it's very easy for us not to do what God said. There was a guy that was preaching, and he was a new pastor in his church, and Sunday he got up and he preached a really good message, and the church said, wow, that was great. Well, the next Sunday he came back and he preached the exact same message. The church thought, okay, maybe there was something wrong with, we'll give him some slack. The third Sunday he came back, he preached the exact same message again. Finally, they had enough. They're like, what's up? The same message 3 weeks in a row. The pastor said, as soon as you start living that one, we'll move on to the next one.
Come on.
Okay.
Now,
I'm not going to do that, all right? But that's what happens. We have to follow God's commands if we want to get. We can't be like, you know how men are. I don't like instruction manuals. You put something together, it's like, how hard can this be? And then you get into it. It's like, if you buy something from IKEA, forget it. It's like, pictures of guys. It doesn't make sense. But we want to do it on our own. We don't need help.
Yeah.
Number two. What else caused Saul to lose it, and what else would cause us to lose it? We don't see, now this is important. We don't see obedience as a whole, but as individual pieces. We don't see obedience as a whole, but as individual pieces. Look at verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. In other words, they were of the opinion that, boy, God told us to destroy everything, and all the bad stuff that was there, boy, we destroyed it, we follow God, but now the good things we decided to keep. And then you'll see he's going to come back and tell Samuel that he did everything he was supposed to do. What do I mean? Obedience is not something that we see in pieces that we can choose to obey or not to obey. We have to see them as a whole. In other words, we can't just pick and choose. We need to do all of it. We can't look at the scripture and say, well, yeah, I'm in on doing this, but I'm not in on doing that. I had a guy one time come in my office, and we were talking, and he's a good guy. But he's like, I just don't do this evangelism thing. I just give money to that. And I'm like, I said, you don't have that option. I said, God told you you're supposed to do it. Keep giving. But God says you're supposed to. You don't get an exemption.
Right.
By the way, how come all of us are the exceptions to the rule? Right? Everybody thinks that they're an exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks we're different than everybody else, and it's okay. If they do that, but if they don't do that, but I, no. The Bible, I like what it says in the book of James. James chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. It says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that saith, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. Think of it as a bicycle chain. A bicycle chain is made up of individual links. And if one of those links breaks, but 99%, the other 99 are good, you're still going nowhere. Now, I'm not saying we're supposed to be perfect. What I am saying, we cannot sit back and choose what parts of the Word of God that we are willing to obey and what parts of the Word of God we are not willing to obey. We don't have that choice. We are to strive with our lives to do everything that God tells us to do. Now, we may not be perfect. We may not get there, but we're supposed to strive for that. These aren't really popular anymore, but cafeterias. How many remember the cafeteria-style food? Not the buffet, but a cafeteria is you walk in there and you get like three sides and all this stuff. I remember on Atlanta, Arnold's. Remember Arnold's on Atlanta? That was a good place. It went out of business. Like most of the restaurants that our governors can. But you just go in there and say, I want that, I don't want that. I want that, I don't want that. Okay? So we bring that into our Christianity. You know, church attendance, I'll do church attendance. I have friends here. I like being around. Bible reading, not so much. Serving, yes. Giving, no. Jesus bumper sticker, yes. Soul winning, no. Listening, yes. Living, no. Now, I'm not going to contradict myself here, but I said you can't pick and choose, but let me just be real honest. You can pick and choose. You can pick and choose what you decide to do that God told you to do. But you cannot pick and choose the consequences of those actions.
Right. Amen.
Saul decided he would choose what parts of God's plan that he would obey. But he could not choose the consequence. He couldn't control it. He lost the kingdom. Very important. Number three, don't allow yourself to be the determining factor as to what is right and wrong. Don't allow yourself to be the determining factor as to what's right and wrong. Look at verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul and said, and Saul said unto him, here we go, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. No, he hadn't. But in his mind, he had. He felt like, because I did most of it, I did what God said. Because I killed most all the people, but saved Agag, because I got rid of all the stuff that was bad, but I kept some of the good flocks, I performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, what would make him think that way? Because in his mind, he was the determining factor as to what was right and wrong. Yeah. By the way, we don't have that option. Right. You cannot be the person, you cannot be the one in life that says what is right and wrong. By the way, that's our society, is it not? You know, I'm okay with tolerance if what you mean by tolerance is you're allowed to believe what you want, even if it's wrong. But tolerance has now become that you have to believe what I believe is just as valid as what you believe. That's garbage. Well, I believe marriage is this. I believe the Bible. I don't believe that's valid. Well, I believe that I'm a man one day and I'm a woman the next. Well, looking at the way you dress, I guess, yeah. But that's not true. And I'm never going to believe that. I got to stick with Scripture. Our society thinks just because they believe something or they feel something that it's right. It's not right just because someone thinks it's right.
Yeah.
It It's not right just because someone feels it's right. It's right because God says it's right outside. See, there has to be a determining factor as to what's right and wrong in our society, what's right and wrong in this world. And I'll just be honest with you, we're flawed individuals. We're gonna think things are right sometimes that aren't right. That's why we go to the scripture. Man cannot be the one who determines what is right and wrong. God has to determine that. It wasn't Saul's job to determine what he should do and what he shouldn't do. He had his marching orders. He should have just walked in there and said, this is what God said, let's do it. But we want to decide, we want to change it. We want to do what we think is best. And it's not going to work. Next, don't allow others to keep you from obedience. Look at verse 15. Now he gets into a blame game here. And Saul said, brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. This guy kills me. They did it. The people, that's the disobedience. We, that's the obedience. Now maybe that's true. He was influenced. But who was the king? He was the king. The first time someone came to him and said, you know what? We ought to keep Agag alive because, you know, that's kind of when you win a battle, it's kind of an honor. I've got the king under my thumb. The first time someone said, we ought to keep him, he should have said, no, God said kill him. The first time they came and said, hey, Saul, this is, what a waste this is. Why are we getting rid of all these things? We could keep this and then we can sacrifice it to the Lord. He should have said, no. God said, it all goes. By the way, that seems like such a small thing, right? Ask Achan how that worked out for him. Achan disobeyed and it cost him his life. A lot of people are influenced by others. By the way, the only way someone can influence you to do the wrong thing is when you allow them to influence. It is given. And, you know, we talk about it. We talk about peer pressure. And you get around the wrong person and they start to, you know, lead you in the wrong direction. You're allowing them to do that. You know, at some point in our life, there needs to be something where we just stand up. Where we just say, you know what, right is right and wrong is wrong, and I don't care what other people think. Remember years ago, we went, this is many years ago, we went on the Pacific Building. We had a couple of teenagers run away. We figured out where they were at. There was a kid that said they were in San Diego. He goes, I know where they're at. So we took them with us. We went in the middle of the night. We went down there, went to the house. We went there, we talked to someone at the house, and they're like, oh, they're not here. And so we were going to leave, and we got in the car to leave, and I was really mad. Like, that was a long drive. I told Pastor, I said, we need to go back, and we need to take this kid in there with us, because he said he talked to him. He knows they're there. Pastor was like, I don't want to put him on the spot. And I'm like, because that's his friend, you know. I'm like, yeah, but shouldn't God, he just needs to do the right thing. Let's just go do this thing. So we did. We took him back in there, and we took him in with us, said he knows they're here. Okay, at some point, you do things that are right, not what other people think. We got to look at the Word of God and say, you know what? By the way, if we're around people that are pushing us the wrong direction, you know what that means? We need to get away from those people. We don't need to be mean-spirited. We don't need to hate them, but we need to move on. And by the way, you know, when you work somewhere and you're around people that aren't godly, by the way, like I said, that Christians don't act like, people that aren't Christians aren't going to act like Christians. But let me say this, you don't have to let them influence you. We, far too often, we're letting people influence us. And now with all the social media and all the nonsense around there, you can be influenced so easily. But whatever happened to just doing what God said? Whatever happened to commitment to what God said? And anything that comes my way that is contrary to this book, that is contrary to what God wants, fact of the matter is, we ought to ditch it. Let us ditch it. Look at verse 19. Next. Don't base obedience on potential physical gain. Verse 19 says, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but this fly upon the, that word there is spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. The spoil, the rewards of winning victory, the good stuff, the stuff you want to keep for yourself. Bottom line, if he's being honest, that's what he wanted. That's what they wanted. They didn't want, in their mind, this was all a waste because they were getting rid of this good stuff, the spoil that they could keep. Let's keep the best for ourselves. And because they wanted to keep the best for themselves, it influenced their decision because it was personal gain over that which was right. Last time I checked, that's not how we decide. We talked already. We talked about Achan. He bought into that. Remember Gehazi? He bought into that. And he went down and tried to get the garments and the silver bars and cost him. Judas bought into that. Ananias and Sapphira bought into that. Lot bought into that. They wanted the stuff. They wanted the stuff. We cannot do things in our life based on what it will do for me. And by the way, let me just say this. If you don't give, you'll have more money. But you won't be blessed. Doesn't make any sense to me, 90% over 100%. 100% seems better. Well, that's not what God says. But we make decisions based on personal gain. What will help me? What is best for me? Most people come into a church and new believers, and they got to get to the point where it's like, listen, yes, you'll be blessed, and yes, God wants to do things in your life, but it's not about you. You got to put that off to the side. What is best for serving the Lord? Not what is profitable. Look at people in business, how dishonest they will be because it's profitable. Well, if you're a Christian, but I shouldn't have this philosophy, I'm sorry. But when someone comes in with a business and they want to get your business by saying they're a Christian, my antennas go up because usually that means they're crooked. I probably shouldn't say that. We've had contractors in the past. Oh, we're Christian. Okay. And we almost had litigation. And I won't go in any farther, but we had some conversations. I'd be very careful. Remember when I was buying one of our cars, and when I was buying it, I was going like two different car dealers, and I was having them go back and forth. And there was one that was cheaper. And I talked to the other guy, said, hey, he's giving me for me this price. Are you going to, if you beat it, I'll buy it from you. He goes, no, we can't beat it. He goes, but I got to tell you something, because he knew I was a pastor or whatever. He goes, we're a Christian place here. Those guys over there, they're Mormons. I don't know if you want to buy from Mormons. And I'm like, what about stewardship? Why would I spend more money just because you're a Christian? I mean, people throw everything at you because it's all about personal gain. But we're supposed to live the life. So, I might lose a job don't worry, just be right. Next, verse 20. This is very important. Be willing to confess when you don't obey. Verse 20. And Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Now by now he knows he hasn't. And have gone the way which the Lord sent me. And have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil. Sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice in the Lord God in Gilgal. Why didn't he just say, you're right, I'm busted. You're right, I didn't listen. You're right, I did wrong. Why is that so hard for us? Why is it when things don't go well or we don't do something that's right, we just can't stop and say, you know what? I was wrong. I got to fix that. We got to talk our way out of it. Instead of just saying, you know what? You're right. I was wrong. We had two teenagers one time when I was a youth director here, and they did something stupid. So I thought, okay. I talked to the one, and one was a little deceitful. I knew it. So I didn't talk to her first. I talked to the other one. I'm like, hey, I heard you did this. blah, blah, blah. And she's like, straightforward, honest. Yeah, we're busted. You're right. I'm sorry. All that stuff. I'm like, okay. And then I brought the other in. Hey, I heard you were involved. Oh, no, uh-uh. I'm like, and I used to love to do this. I'm like, oh, you know, I talked to so-and-so. And then their face would always change. Like, yeah, you did it. Why didn't you just be honest? In the past, when our kids were really young, we'd have teenagers that lived with us, several of them. They're having some issues, and we tried to help them. They'd stay with us for a while. And really, the one rule, they had to follow the rules of the house, but there was one thing that automatically got you kicked out: deceit. Just be honest. If you lie to me, you're done. I have no patience for that. You're out of here. If you're not willing to just say, hey, yeah, you're right, I messed up. Let's get some help. Saul didn't want to do it. I mean, to say that, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and in the same sentence say, I kept Agag alive, that doesn't compute. Yeah. It doesn't compute. The thing that will help us when we do wrong is the fact that we get it right ASAP, and we don't try to hold on to it. Lastly, verse 24, seek God's honor and glory, not man's. Verse 24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Okay. That was after Samuel led him to that conclusion, right? For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words because I feared the people. Another excuse, and obeyed their voice. Verse 30, then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of the people and before Israel, to turn away with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. You see, the only reason when Samuel finally did say that he did it is because he was concerned about what other people thought about him, and he wanted to save face, not that he wanted to get right. He was more concerned with his honor and his glory than God's honor and glory. And let me say this, whenever we don't follow the Lord or do what he says, you know who we're hurting? We're hurting God's name. We're hurting God's name. I've said it over and over. The best advertisement for Christianity is Christians, and we're also the worst advertisement. The fact of the matter is, our society as a whole, pretty much, their view of Christianity is based on Christians. Really good view of Christianity. And that's tragic. But if we can be a good testimony, we can give the honor and glory to the Lord. Now, what's the point of the message? Saul lost a lot because of disobedience. But think of it on this way. Why are we disobedient in the first place? Because we think by our disobedience and doing our own thing, we'll gain. When the opposite is true. See, we think we can figure things out and we can do what is going to make me happy. This is going to bring joy in my life that I want. And so we do those things that actually are taking away everything we really want in life. Why don't we just do what God said? Saul didn't. He didn't follow these guys. He did his own thing. And ultimately, he lost out. His family lost out. That's not God's plan for you. Serving the Lord is the greatest thing we can do. When someone comes in and says, you know, this Christianity thing is just not working out for me.
It's not Christianity, it's you.
Right. It's not that Christianity isn't working for you. You're not working Christianity. Because we're doing our own thing.
Yes,
let's not lose out. I read a little story that, you know, it's Christmas season, and it's a lot easier to shop for people now. You just buy them gift cards, right? How many, you know, to be honest with you, and keep bringing the gift cards, I'll use them eventually, but I got a stack of gift cards like that. We'll go out of town or something, I'm like, you know, let's grab three of the Olive Gardens or whatever. Well, I got a lot of them now because you can't really go out, but I will use them eventually. But they said that every year, millions of dollars go unclaimed in gift cards. Either people just don't ever use them, or people use them and don't use all of them, and there's just a couple bucks left and they don't use it. Well, think about that. I wonder how much we've lost in our life. I wonder how much spiritual potential we've lost. Because we simply want to do our own thing. By the way, I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself because I'm the same way. That's something that's inherent in our flesh. We have to be in control. We know what's best. Let's do what we think is best. It doesn't work that way. Whenever you do what you want to do in violation of what God says you should do, you lose, just like Saul. Let's pray for a minute. Where you're at, if you close your eyes just for a minute, I know it's hard sometimes when you're at home with little ones, but let's just think. If all of us are honest, we can think back to times in our life, situations in our life where we've done what we want to do, where we've been disobedient to the Lord. We've done something we thought would be best without any spiritual input. We've lost. That's not God's plan. Losing out on what God is that we don't fulfill what he wants from us. We just lose. I hope that you don't do that in your life. Father, we thank you for loving us this morning. This way, I pray, Lord, you'd help us. All of us have to fight everything in us and everything around us that pushes us to do our own thing, pushes us towards a lack of faith and trust in your word. And we can be slick like Saul and blame others. We can be deceitful to ourselves, thinking just because we've done a few things that we've been obedient. But ultimately, we lose. Be with us now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.